Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson with a cup of goodness again from North Dakota. This is program number 72, and for those of you that know me by now, I'm not going to tell you that we're just going to get this done today. We're going to look at Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at the story about Paul's shipwreck, and I can tell you right now, we're not going to get it done today. Now, if we do, I would be quite surprised. So if we don't, I will no longer be surprised. This is a total example of biblical counseling, as people call it today, the way it should be done. People will go to psychologists, they'll go to Christian counselors, they'll go to pastors for their 2 cents, they'll go to all this counseling, and they say it's Christian, and they say it's biblical, but most of it comes out of the Old Testament. Or it comes out of the Gospels, Jesus' teachings, again, is still Jewish teachings. Or they get into the tougher stuff, and they get into Peter and 1 John, and they get into all these things. And it's not encouraging, it's not nurturing, and it's not exhorting properly. It's not comforting. It's just wasted words. Few people actually follow the counseling they get, because they know it's just that, it's counseling. It's not dealing with their flesh. It's not dealing with their soul being separated from the flesh. It's not dealing with any of these things that Christ did regarding the law. It's not dealing with anything about the goodness of God. It's just, it's humanistic psychology with a little Bible thrown in here and there. This was probably one of my first illustrations or first examples of, again, what it could be called, I suppose, biblical counseling. This chapter is geared towards those people whose lives are a shipwreck, or geared to those people whose lives are on the road or on the water on the way to shipwreck. And what I'm going to do, because I don't know how to go about this thing on a 30-minute program, and I doubt very much that most people have read Acts chapter 27 in the King James Bible, and I doubt very much that most of you have even heard this message. Now, the website folks that are listening from around the country and different places, they probably know the story. I have taught this story a number of times, and every time I'm thumbing through my Bible and I get to chapter 27, I just have to stop for a second and just say, this is a fantastic story, illustration, opportunity to show people that this is how it goes. And this is why people are in the shipwrecked lives that they are, or this is why the people are heading to shipwreck and they don't even know it. So what I have decided to do is I'm going to spend this program just read the chapter. I will, of course, put a little emphasis on there because that means those are the places I would like to stop and preach and teach about something. I'm not an Alexander Scorby with my voice. I do not have a radio voice. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to read the story to you, and then you can look at this, and I'll bet you if you've been listening to me at all and understanding Paul and his ministry and his benefits that he has towards people he talks to, you'll probably see some things in here that you'll go, ah, I never saw that before. This is very interesting. So, without any further ado, as they say, and I will try very hard not to stop and bunny trail any of this. I'm just going to read you this story. It'll be hard, though. I really want to stop and say a few things. This is all taking place just after Paul met with King Agrippa and Festus, of course, good old Festus. And Paul is still being sent on to Caesar. For example, let's look at verse 30, just to kind of prep this. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. They knew this guy was fine. This guy meaning Paul. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. So Paul's got to go on and go talk to Caesar. So here we go. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramedium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul, and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. Now I'd like to stop there and talk about the ship of Alexandria, but I'll save it for Monday. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and, hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Another place for comments. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind, called Euclidon. And when the ship was caught, and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and gave thanks to God in presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat, and we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast, and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, all safe to land. Now, there's the story, and ta-da, we still have some minutes left, but not enough to finish talking about this story. So let's just look at this thing generally here. We'll go back to verse 1, and keep in mind what happened here. These guys got on a ship. It was too late to go sailing, and Paul knew it. And he knew things were going to happen, and he talked to the boss of the ship, and the owner of the ship said, I'm not going to listen to you, Paul. And away they went. Well, it started to fall apart. The storm of life came upon them. They couldn't handle it. They tried to get rid of the stuff they thought they should get rid of. Finally, Paul stood up and said, listen, folks, or listen to the centurion, the boss guy. You should have listened to me. He said, you should have hearkened unto me. And we shouldn't have left. If you would have listened to me, we wouldn't be in this mess. But then he said, listen, I have talked with God. And I serve this God. And this God told me, we're okay. We're going to live. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to lose a hair off their head, which is an amazing illustration right there. And he even told him, be of good cheer. Because whatever it is that's going to happen to us, God said, we're going to be okay. Now, can you put this into modern life? God shows us in this book, things are going to be okay. But right now, there's a tempestuous storm brewing, and in some places in our country, it's already blowing. And there are people that are up a creek, without a paddle, as they say. And why is that? They didn't listen to Paul. They didn't even want to hear from Paul. I look back at my life, and I wonder what it would have been like if I had caught on to this Paul stuff, as I call it, the Paul stuff, and went to the risen Savior 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and would have taught this to the family, would have taught this to the kids, would have lived this life on a daily basis, would I be where I am today? Would you be where you are today? And how many folks out there in this radio world are not listening to Paul? And they think everything's fine. And when the storm comes up, they just kind of toss everything out of their life. They get kind of serious with their Christianity. And they'll probably stop doing this and stop doing that, stop doing this. And has it calmed down the storm? Not at all. Here I come along and I'm saying, listen, folks, you need to listen to this Paul guy. Because this Paul guy is talking with the risen Savior. So if you've got a King James Bible, fear not. because we have had stand by us. We've got the Word of God. And we can tell from this Word of God, things are going to be okay. But we have to be cast upon a certain island. There's some things that we're going to have to go through before this thing is all said and done. So they continue on, and the ship wrecks. It does. And he gets into these men, and he encourages them. Eat. You guys need some physical, earthly strength. You know, don't be frightened. Don't get into this fast stuff where you get weaker and weaker and weaker. And so these guys were all of good cheer. And they did. They ate of this meat. And yet they still had to do what they had to do because it didn't take long and the ship still crashed. The world around these prisoners, the guards, the soldiers, they wanted to kill them. They didn't want to help them. Do you ever wonder people that try to tell you about their religion and their beliefs? Why is it that they don't allow you to tell them about yours? They don't want you to have what you have or to believe what you believe. And you Paul folks out there that are listening to this, you've got people that they just want to kill you. Either kill you spiritually, and in some cases probably even physically. They just want you out of their life. And that's what these soldiers were like. But the centurion kept these guys from doing that to them and said to Paul, listen, those that could swim, get into the sea and swim away. There's the land over there. And the rest of you who can't swim, hang on to some of those broken, battered boards. You'll still get there too, but it'll be a rough float, as we would say. And then when it gets into chapter 28, it says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and on goes the story. Now, that's a summary of that chapter. What about the details? If I were to be talking to somebody who was asking me, is my life headed for a shipwreck because I'm not following this Paul guy that you're talking about? I've got a good religion. I'm a good Baptist. I'm a good Pentecostal. I'm a good Catholic. I'm doing fine. Things get rougher and rougher and rougher these days. One of these days, somebody's going to go to West Paul folks. They're going to want to listen. And we could say to them, I sure wish you would have listened a long time ago. Which is one of those I told you so's. And don't you hate the told you so's. Paul got over that quickly and it was very encouraging. We would just say, listen, we've written this Bible. We've rightly divided this Bible. And you're caught up with religion. You're caught up with baptism. You're caught up with all these earthly things. We'll have to do a program on this. Some of you are even caught up with soul winning, as it's the most important thing. Well, sure, people need to be saved. But what are you soul winning with? Which gospel? The Jesus gospel to the Jews? The severity of God? Are you trying to scare people into getting saved? Or are you going to try to teach them what Paul tries to teach us, to teach others? The goodness of God. And it says right there in Romans chapter 2, the goodness of God leadeth people to repentance. Not the severity of God, Romans chapter 11. So we know where this is going. And if anybody out there wants to get their lives fixed, here's what Paul did on this boat. Here's how they fixed this thing. They still crashed, but they still made it safely. They still got to their destination. So Monday, we're going to cut this off a little early, play some more piano for you. Because if I say anything else, then I'm going to get into the details. And I think I'll just save this. I'll put these things together over the weekend a little bit. And I'll show you the details that are in this chapter 27 that are phenomenal, I suppose would be a good word for it. It's exciting to me because this is biblical counseling at the max. And you can find out that if you are in a shipwreck, how do you still get to the land over there that you want to get to? And if you're not in a shipwreck and you think things are going fine, but there's things brewing in the weather out there, something doesn't seem right here. Where's God's blessings? I'm praying and I'm fasting and I've had the hands laid on me and I'm doing this. I'm even reading my Bible. I'm soul winning. I'm doing all this kind of stuff that we've been told to do in our churches. Paul comes along. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. And that's what people are going to find out. Hearkening unto Paul is hearkening unto the risen Savior, the risen Jesus Christ. People believe that he died and rose again, and yet they still want to go to their churches and their pastors and their denominations that teach the teachings that Jesus taught to the Jews before he died and rose again. And we have read in Hebrews chapter 9 that the New Testament does not begin until the death of the testator. So the New Testament doesn't doctrinally begin until the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, when he comes back and he goes to the Gentiles. Does he go to the Gentiles right away? No. This is where the Great Commission fits in. And that's like on a ship to Alexandria, if that stuff is taught today. And Paul says, listen, folks, listen to me. This ship is going to have to crash, but I'm telling you, I'll get you to where you need to get. It won't be easy, but be of good cheer. God will guide us. And that's what we'll learn in Acts chapter 27. Like I said, biblical, daily, day-to-day counseling to help people look at themselves and look at their lives and see what's going on. And one more time I'll say it. This can prevent you from a shipwreck. This can help you get through the shipwreck. And if your life is a shipwreck, you can actually look back and see what it was you should have done, and you'll never know. But what would your life have been like if you'd have met with Paul and the risen Savior in the King James Bible years ago? So we will talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend. I will talk to you on Sunday morning. We'll be going into Ephesians again, and then Monday we'll pick it up in Acts 27 again, and we'll look at this ship of Alexandria. We'll look at some of the things that Paul said, and we'll try to apply that into our daily lives, and just maybe we can prevent a few shipwrecks, or those that are going to be in a shipwreck, how to get through it. And for those that are just wondering why we are now understanding the shipwreck, I'll tell you right now, it's because we didn't listen to Paul years ago. Listen to Paul, listen to the risen Savior through Paul. I was a King James Bible believer years ago, but nobody took me to Paul. I followed the King James Bible only Baptist believer thing for years. In fact, I was a pastor, and I preached that stuff, and still it started to dawn on me, something's not right here. Number one, all the blessings that I thought I was promising people and was being promised myself, physical blessings, didn't come around unless you had money or you went into debt with your credit card. I learned that some of the things I was teaching out of Paul's books didn't say the same thing in the Gospels, or I was teaching some of the things in the Gospels and in Peter and Jude and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and it sure didn't line up with what Paul was teaching. Then I realized one day that verse in 1 John that says I need to confess my sins, and then I read what Paul said about my sins are gone. Well, how can I do that? And I started questioning. Then when I got into Paul and I started to follow Paul, I realized there's something else I have to do. I've got to get rid of all the stuff that I was carrying with me on my ship. Had to get all that stuff. Now, that was very difficult to get rid of what I had learned in my Baptistic religion and what I had taught as a pastor. Had to keep throwing that stuff off my boat. Well, if the ship is still going to crash, yeah, but I got rid of that junk. In fact, here's kind of a heads up in verse 36. No, in verse, where's it at here? In verse 38, they cast out the wheat. That was the good stuff. Get rid of that wheat. That's all still messing with your ship. So that's the hard part, is to get rid of the stuff that we carry, the stuff that we have, the things that we have learned. We got to throw that religion out and start clean, start fresh with the risen Savior through Paul. So we'll talk about this on Monday, and I hope you have a good weekend. And folks, winter's coming up here. I don't know what it's like down there. I guess I could check it out. But we're getting ourselves braced for the winter up here. And if anybody wants to come up here and join us, you're more than welcome. But I don't blame you if you don't. So we will talk to you on Monday.